This is more of a, as Bishop Adler used to say, random thoughts of a passing of the passing parade today. So just some things the Lord has just been, I was just thinking through and thinking about the word he spoke. One of our prophetic nights we got together, the last one, and I was, the Lord really had given me a word about the atmosphere in which we come to worship, you know, of an atmosphere of, he really wanted it to be, an atmosphere of expectation, faith, right? Reading today, familiar passages where Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, and it said that he could only do a few small miracles there, couldn't do very much because of the unbelief. He just said he laid his hands on a few sick and they got healed, but just wasn't released just to do that. So we know there was just an atmosphere of just unbelief. And then in Bethsaida, we know he took this guy, had to take him, took him outside the city to pray for him, the blind man. And it's a time where Jesus prayed for him twice. You know, he was seeing men walk around like trees, and then he prayed for him again, which that's always encouragement to me that we can pray for each other more than once. Jesus did. But I think it had more to do with that also. I think it had to do with the atmosphere of unbelief that was there in Bethsaida as well. He spoke a word. You know, there was some stuff that he did early on there, but then he said, you know, if the miracles would have been done in you, in Tyre and Sidon, then the whole city would have repented, right? Then the story of Jesus when he was a boy, 12 years old, and they had to go up to Jerusalem, which they did once a year for the Passover. And when they were returning on the trip, a good day into the trip, they realized that Jesus wasn't with them, right? I mean, they left their city and left in a big caravan, people, their family and stuff, and then realized that Jesus wasn't there, you know? You think, well, how does a parent know that, you know, this is Jesus? They should have been knowing where he was. But then when they went back, day's journey back to the city, it took them 3 days to find him, right? A lot into that, not trying to read something in there that's not. But the idea is becoming so comfortable with something that you misplace, you know, the presence of God or Jesus, you know. So I remember years ago, we used to have a thing. We would meet on Wednesday nights. The Presbyterian church in there is called the Upper Room. And all these guys from around Selma would go. Glenn, you probably were there. But man, there was such an atmosphere of expectation. When you left, wherever you were going to go there, you were just so excited to see and what God was going to do. You knew he was going to do something. And it was just, the atmosphere was so electric. I loved to go. I had to take my kids home and because TC had a worship practice, so I didn't get to go as much. But when I did, there was just, I mean, the Lord was going to do stuff. And it was just charged, which I really believe that's what the Lord wants here, you know, churches that we come. You know, I was talking the other night, you know, just our Western Christianity, because we're talking about the gifts in a Bible study, and Western Christianity gets to where we just kind of, you know, come on Sunday, you sit and listen to somebody preach and, you know, sing a few songs and off you go until the next week, right? Where it becomes more of a spectator type of thing. You know, these verses in Corinthians, when he's talking to these guys about the gifts, which is always an encouragement to me because Paul wanted them to get it right, right? Didn't tell them to stop doing it, but he was telling them how to do it better and to get it right. But this is what he says three different times. This is in 1 Corinthians 12. He says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I'll show you a more excellent way. That's leading into 13 about all the love. And then he says this in 14:1, pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. You know, that word earnestly, you've heard me speak that before. It's a word, it's kind of a picture word, but it's a word of just boiling over, of watching a pot or something on the stove, you know. Happens a lot if I'm trying to cook something that always boils over, you know. That same kind of desire. And he's speaking, this is to the body of Christ, you know. And he says again, at the end of 1 Corinthians 14, therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Desire earnestly to be used by God to speak to each other, because it says all can do that, right? We can all speak for exhortation, for encouragement, the three things here, for edification, exhortation, and consolation, right? But the whole idea, I think the Lord was speaking to me, is that when you get a group of believers coming together, and there's this boiling over desire to not just to encounter the Lord, but to be in on it, right? To be earnestly desire for the Lord to, man, I want to do this. I want to, we all carry the same Holy Spirit. We all carry the same Jesus, right? And we carry a Holy Spirit who desires more than we do to release within us gifts to minister to each other. And I think when that heart, that's just one part of it, but when we're coming together and there's just this heightened expectation what God is going to do that day, He will always meet us there, right? And so my prayer for my, and this is for me, y'all. This is not for y'all. This is me, the Lord speaking to me and me, you know, telling the Lord, Lord, don't ever let me get to a place to where it becomes just a daily routine or ho-hum or thinking, oh, man, I got to come over here and do this and get up there and give a few words or whatever, you know. Never let me fall into that. Let me always be expecting and be excited about what you're going to say and do today, because I don't want this place to be, or where I am to be, another Nazareth where you can only do a few things because of our unbelief, or our where we're not really expecting, you know, or where you have to take somebody out of this place to get them healed, or you know, don't ever let us get like that. Let me get like that, Lord. Your word to us is you want us to, you want the atmosphere to be charged. I mean, when we first started doing this back in 2009, September of 2009, and it was right a few months later when the Lord healed me of those migraines I had for almost 7 years. We saw all kind of stuff happen. Bill was here. He saw it. We had I don't know if y'all remember, we had a board back there where that line is, and we had all kind of testimonies pinned to it, and had some leg wraps and arm. You remember that? All kind of different stuff we had up there. It was slap full of testimonies of things God did here when people were coming. You know, because there was an expectation. They came knowing that God was going to do something and came expecting to get ministered to or expecting to get healed, and the Lord just did. I mean, powerful stuff. Now, that doesn't mean the Lord wants us to feel like, oh, man, that make us feel bad. He wants us to never let that go. You know, He's even kind of giving us words about getting the thing back up there. I don't even know where it is. We did something with it. But when you look up there and you see all these testimonies, then you're thinking, man, the Lord might do something today, right? So, simple prayer. You just ask the Lord to raise your level of expectation, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. We know that. Because I think that He really wants to give us and release the more to us, right? The more to you, the more, you know, and like that said, if you've never really prayed that to earnestly desire gifts, just ask the Lord to do that, you know, go for it, because it's in you. So that boiling over, can you imagine that? We're all coming together and just can't wait to see what He's going to do and just pursuing after these with all of our heart and earnestly desiring them, where we're just boiling over to minister to each other as the body of Christ. What He would do greater than what we're seeing, right? He said we'd do that, greater things. So say all that to say, we got greater things coming, and expect. You come in here, expect. If you're not expecting, no, charge up your expectation meter, whatever it takes, because we're in this time and where God's moving, and we want to be a part of everything He's doing in Selma. He's moving everywhere, all kind of Cross Point and Elkdale, all the different people who are represented here. So let me just pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank You that, Lord, You raised dead people, and You didn't take much faith for a lot of people to be healed, Lord. And we know that. It's not a word of faith thing, Lord. But You do meet us at our level of expectation, even in our daily lives, Lord. So, Lord, get rid of our unbelief. Lord, our unbelief is the only thing that keeps us from moving forward. And You tell us to be diligent to enter Your rest, everything that You did. today you say, if you hear his voice. So Lord, I pray that my heart won't harden, that I won't ever get so used to this that I misplace you, Lord, as Mary and Joseph did. In my life, Lord, in this church that I'm a part of, this awesome group of people, just stir us, Lord. Stir our expectation and meet us there, God. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.